Hey everyone, welcome back to the Enemies of Man series. Last time we talked about dominance, and this time we'll talk about ego. Now, if you understand dominance, you effectively understand male nature. Just like if you understand hypergamy, you understand female nature. Hypergamy and dominance play hand in hand. They allow the species, the human race, to acquire resources in order to provide for offspring. They're a vital part of survival and reproduction. Now, you can argue that in today's modern world, these instincts are no longer needed, but this is effectively the operating system we're running on. Now, while we're moving on from dominance, you have to understand how central dominance is to male nature. But let's move on to ego. Now, before I get into specifically what I'm talking about, let me discuss what I'm not talking about. If you just Google ego, or even look on YouTube, just type ego in the search bar, you're going to get all kinds of crazy shit. You're going to get Buddhist stuff. You're going to get all this other weird shit. Now, I'm not going to talk about, you know, this whole idea of the ego being the soul or the bridge between the physical and the spiritual. I don't care. I'm also not going to talk about the Freudian type of ego where you have like the id, the ego, and the superego. I don't care about that either. When I talk about ego, I'm talking about something very simple. And I don't want to get too bogged down into, you know, all these different schools of psychology and whatnot and New Age spiritualism. It goes far beyond the scope of what I want to talk about in this video. So what do I mean when I talk about ego? What I'm talking about is the sense of self, the self-identification, which is the ego. Now, to use a very familiar analogy, let's talk about the movie The Matrix. So you know how Neo, he was in that little pod and he was bald and he couldn't use his eyes. His whole life was a dream. So if his whole life was a dream, where did he get his hair, his clothes, all this other stuff? Well, Morpheus explains this is his residual self-image. It's how he perceives himself, thus when he enters the Matrix, he becomes what he perceives himself as, even if it's not real. Now, there's nothing wrong with having a sense of self. In fact, I'm a rugged individualist, so having a sense of self is not a problem in and of itself. In fact, having dominance isn't a problem in and of itself. We're not talking about eliminating these things. These things are part of human nature. We're talking about understanding them. Understanding what these instincts are, how they affect your thinking, and how they can be used against you. So how can ego be used against men? Whenever somebody attacks MGTOW, what do they attack us with? They attack us with shaming language. Well, why does shaming language work? I mean, if it didn't work, they wouldn't use it. It's like the go-to weapon against MGTOW. Now, why? Why does shame work? Or why do they think it will work so much so that they rely on it so heavily? Well, shame works if it attacks your ego. You know, remember that scene from Back to the Future where, you know, Marty gets called a chicken and he can't back down. He has to rise up and meet the challenge of anyone who calls him a chicken. Because they know he won't back down if someone calls him a chicken, they make him do really dumb stuff, knowing he's going to go along with it because they threaten to bruise his ego. And women do this all the time. They manipulate men by attacking their ego or by stroking their ego, the key word being ego. This is really foundational. In fact, in case you didn't know, Barbarossa's blog is called Shedding of the Ego. Now, I don't know if his definition of ego exactly fits my definition of ego. We may have slightly different definitions, but I assume we're mostly on the same page with this. Women attack men using the ego, both positively and negatively. They stroke a man's ego to manipulate him one way, or they attack a man's ego to manipulate him another way. And the only way to become immune to these shaming tactics or guilt or whatever manipulations that people use against men, you have to learn to recognize your ego, or as Barbarossa might say, shed the ego. Again, I'm not talking about shedding your sense of self. I'm just talking about shedding the ability of people to manipulate you using your ego. Now, how is this done? Well, you have to understand the importance of internal validation versus external validation. So your sense of self, if you have an external sense of validation, you're going to seek validation from whatever gives you validation. I know I said validation a lot in that sentence. What is the difference between a pussy-worshipping simp and a MGTOW? Well, quite simply, the MGTOW does not give a shit about female validation. And this is what separates not only MGTOW from pussy-worshipping simps, but also PUAs, MRAs, all these other people, you know, various anti-feminists. I mean, there's this recent dust up with anti-feminists attacking MGTOW. I don't fucking care. The point is they're looking for validation, external validation. MGTOW is all about self-actualization. And in order to be self-actualized, you have to be immune to manipulation of the ego. And thus you have to have an internal sense of validation. You can't be looking for other people to validate you because you're giving them power to manipulate you, because they can withhold that validation and manipulate you, or they can give you that validation if they want you to do something you wouldn't normally do, knowing that that would incentivize you to do it. Having external validation is a huge liability for a man. It's been basically man's Achilles heel. It's how men are manipulated into doing all kinds of bullshit. I mean, why does a man get married when the laws are clearly not in his favor? I mean, think about, what does a man actually get from being married? Nothing. Nothing. And what does he assume? He assumes all kinds of risks. He basically guarantees his wife access to his resources for the rest of her life. Even if she leaves, she can get divorced with him, you know, in a few years, she still gets his money. What does he get in exchange for that? She might have sex with him once in a while. That's it. Some sex once in a while. That's what I'm giving all these resources for, all these promises and legal obligations, for a little bit of sex. If that's all it was, I mean, no man in his right mind, if you just put a man, you know, on a desert island with no society, no man would assume that kind of legal obligation. So why do men do it all the time? I mean, I understand the numbers are dwindling, but men still get married, even with their eyes open, understanding the bullshit. They do this mostly because they're manipulated by expectations on them from society. Their parents or their culture or whatever tell them, you know, you want to be a good man, you need to go get married, you need to go do this. This is what good men do. And because they want that external validation, because they value the approval, not just of women, but of society at large, they allow themselves to be manipulated. They make these terrible deals. They do things which are clearly not in their interest. And then when the man realizes he was completely had, that he was lied to, manipulated by a society which didn't give a shit about him at all, which goaded him into taking on these responsibilities for no benefit, what is a man to do? It's too late. So we warn men, as a MGTOW community, we warn men about this. And of course we're attacked, using the weapons of shame and guilt. Being told we're all a bunch of fat, neck-bearded virgins who just had a bad experience and has mommy issues. Now, we make a mistake as a community when we simply assume that these men are trying to get laid. It's not necessarily about sex. It's about dominance, but it's also about external validation. These men are trying to climb the social hierarchy, not just with women, but in society at large. They want to be seen as good men. Now, another product of ego is the rejection of the red pill. So ego is your sense of self. It's how you see the world. And when you're presented with things which contradict what you previously believe, you're going to reject it. Or you're going to have a very high burden of proof to be convinced, because it contradicts what you already believe. In their ego, their self-image conforms to the society that they perceive. Ego is the enemy of man, because it does two things. It allows men to be manipulated by trying to conform to the external validation of not only women, but society. In a gynocentric society, the validation of women and the validation of society are one and the same, because it's all about serving women. You're a good man if you serve women. In fact, just think of all the movies and TV shows of men sacrificing their lives for women, even undeserving women. You just see it all the time in these Hollywood movies, these guys throwing their lives away, committing suicide to save a woman. And the other reason why it's an enemy to man is because it blinds you to the obvious truth. If your sense of self and your sense of reality is skewed, and you're not open-minded because of your ego, because the truth may be too painful to your sense of identity, you're going to be closed off to that reality. And this is why you really should not be afraid of even painful truths. No matter how painful the truth is, it's better to know the truth. And a good analogy I have is, imagine you had a terminal illness and you went to the doctor and the doctor lied to you and told you you were fine. So you spent the next 6 months just doing your normal thing. Now, of course, at the time when the doctor told you you were fine, you had the biggest smile on your face because you were worried you were going to die. and the doctor lied to you to make you feel better. But 6 months later, when you're dying in a hospital bed, you're going to curse that doctor because you could have used that 6 months. If you knew you were dying, you could have at least enjoyed that 6 months. But because you were lied to, you wasted that 6 months. And now you're lying in a hospital bed dying and you have no more time left. You can't go back in time and spend that 6 months differently. Now it's too late. Now let's go back. If the doctor told you the truth, told you you had a year to live and to spend the next 6 months as if it were your last, because it is. I mean, it would be tough. You'd probably cry. You'd be very angry. You may even take it out on the doctor for telling you the truth. But after a while, you'd come to grips with it. You'd accept it. And hopefully you'd make the most of that 6 months before the illness took you. And that's what the red pill is. Your ego tells you to fulfill the vision that's been presented for you of a good man, of a, you know, whatever. The external validation that I previously talked about. But you have to come to grips with that. You have to understand that you are being manipulated. That vision, that role that you've been assigned by society, by gynocentric society, will not lead to your happiness. I mean, you may feel good when you get the pats on the back and the attaboys, but you're not going to feel good once you've been used up and society has no further use for you and they turn their back on you. But accept the truth. Don't let the ego get in the way of the truth. Don't reject the truth because it's painful and because it challenges your self-identity. Don't seek after external validation. One of my first videos is called Capable of Anything, and it deals with the topic of internal validation. And I'll post a link to it, but please excuse the audio quality. I was a brand new monkey channel, and I really didn't know what I was doing in terms of editing. But check out the video. So that's about all I have to say right now as it pertains to ego. I might do a follow-up video based on the comments, so I look forward to talking to you then. Thank you for watching, and I'll see you next time.